It's good to be here. When I walked in this morning to your fellowship, I was reminded of another time I was talking in Oklahoma City. I walked in this morning here and just sat down here for a moment, and the first thing I saw was the crossbow up here, right there. And that's normally what you don't have on the podium in a church. And so I was in Oklahoma City a few years back, and I was talking to a fellowship there, and they have their fellowship behind a gun shop. And so you have to walk through all the bazookas and machine guns and shotguns and everything to get to the fellowship. But then when I got there, I'm in the front row and talking, and everybody's in there. Everybody in there is packing. Everybody. And they're in Oklahoma. They can go up to 15 inches. You know, it's kind of interesting. And so you're looking at the big buckles and the big guns, and everybody in the fellowship, I'm going, this is a bit unusual, because I'm talking about life, you know, and the value of human life. And so I walk in here this morning, and you got the crossbow up there, and I'm going, yeah, what's that?
You were very safe.
Yeah, very safe. Yeah, so maybe it's a security issue. I'm not sure. So, but there again, something like that would fit well in Cedar Springs. And so we'll just, you know, just welcome this. I do love being here. It's wonderful to be here. And this morning, I would like to bring you to some passages in Scripture that are really meaningful to me. But also bring testimony about Life International and what's happening. For some of you, I've never met you before. I would love to get to know you more. Some of you know me because I've been in and out of this fellowship since really the beginning. Just kind of showing up once in a while when invited and bring the word to you. And I have watched you grow, and it's been exciting to see all that has taken place. God is good. And he is able, and he's working powerfully here and all over the world. How long do I have, by the way? As long as I want. You always say that, but there is a time, right?
Usually 30, 35 minutes.
Oh, that much? Yeah.
I don't usually go that long, but I guess.
Yeah, they do, yes. So one of my friends was a Congo Samson. He was with you a few weeks ago. How many enjoyed a Congo? He's an amazing man of God, and he is truly an amazing partner in the gospel, and I hope you get to read his books and get to know him more and more. There are people in the world today who are really living out the faith, and he has been in and out of torture and prison so many times to take a stand for Christ and for the gospel, and it's so good to get to know some individuals like that. It kind of rubs off on us and just helps us take that stand, because we need it today, don't we? Even right here in, where are we? Is this Wyoming. I was going to say Jenison, but that was your other place. Yeah, so now we're in Wyoming. Even right here, we need to be strengthened in our faith. The challenges upon us these days are just amazing. But we serve a God who is bigger, and I want to talk about him today and how he is able to do this. I also want to say thank you for your partnership. You guys are great, and I love Todd and Chris, and they are authentic in their faith, and I can see how it's among all of you, and that's what makes this kind of fellowship so contagious and so wonderful. It's good to be with you. Father, as we come before you this morning, you are the reason that we come. And I ask, Father, that this morning that you come and individually speak. Talk to us where we are today with all that's going on in our lives. We need you. We're desperate for you. Holy Spirit, come and just work powerfully in your own unique way and do your good and perfect work in our lives. And through the word this morning, I pray, Lord, that we can hear from you and just be transformed more into your likeness. Thank you, Father, for loving us this way. And again, I pray blessing on this fellowship. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to talk this morning about listening. as I walked in, you were talking with each other. That's normal here, right? It's not the kind of church where you don't talk with each other. You come in and you're talking with each other. This seems so basic, right? Come in and you talk. And if you're talking, you're hoping that somebody is listening. And as I observed and saw, people were actually listening. And so you were having this exchange between listening and talking, talking and listening. And maybe through these conversations, the next thing happens. As you're talking and you're listening and you're exchanging, something might come that takes the form of action. Where you might do something together. Maybe you were making plans. Maybe you were just talking about coffee later. Maybe you were talking about an event later in the week. Maybe you were talking about the men's day. Maybe. Hopefully. And that plans were being made. So you had this exchange. It seems normal, doesn't it? Just a normal thing between people. Listening, hearing, talking, exchanging, doing. It's a design that came from somewhere. It actually came from the Father. Do you see the Trinity doing that? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Very, very different, but one. How does the oneness occur? Through talking, hearing, exchanging, and doing. It's how God designed things. And so this morning I bring to you a couple of questions. If that's the way God designed it for us here among each other, and that is how the Trinity is continually interacting with one another, I know this sounds so elementary, right? This sounds so basic, and you're all assuming that, okay, you don't even think about it. But have you thought about, is God speaking today? Does God speak to us? Absolutely. So we all can say yes and amen. God does speak. What's the next question? Yeah, that's the big question, right? Are we listening? Do we have ears to hear? God gave us ears for a reason. To listen. There's a basic principle here. Do you realize this is really important for evangelism, by the way? What is really good pre-evangelism? Listening. You don't know how many people in the world today, if you just sat down and asked them to tell you their story, they would say to you, no one has ever asked me that question. We're all running our separate ways, going all of our directions that we go. We're very busy people, but do we stop long enough to look at that person right there in the corner and ask, tell me about your life? And that would be the first time they've heard that question, and then they begin to talk, maybe for the first time. Opens the door for the Lord to come in and work powerfully. Basic stuff here. But in our busyness, sometimes we don't really go there into this incredible opportunity that God has given us on this earth. Taking the time to listen. And then from that, take that next step into taking some action. Is God speaking? And you all say, yes. How does God speak, by the way? Through His Word, His written Word. How else? Through the Holy Spirit. Through creation. Yeah, even the rocks sing praises to the Lord. And the trees. Really? They do. Isn't that incredible? I love the way God designed things, don't you? Just look out at those trees. They're moving right now. You know what that is? That's exuberant praise to the Father. It is. They know it. The trees know it. Why don't we? It's amazing, isn't it? And so the listening, God's speaking. And how else does he speak? Creation, Holy Spirit, written word. Other believers. Other believers. God speaks that way. Can you think of any other ways he speaks?
Music.
So God has created all of these forms of communication for his people on this earth to hear his voice. We all have agreed he speaks, and he speaks in these forms. Next question is, are we listening? That's the big question. And it gets harder to listen with all of the voices in our world today. There are so many voices. We're being bombarded with voices. This is one of my great concerns. What voice are we listening to? What is it? We have political voices, policy voices, celebrity voices, news voices, all kinds of news voices. We have theological voices, pastoral voices. Do we know the one voice? Do we? How have we trained our ears to listen? And can we even separate and decipher through all of those voices and all that's going on the one true voice? This is important for true life fellowship, to know the one and true voice. Do you know it? I bring this to you because I am convicted about this, and I don't like to share my conviction with only myself. I love to share it with others. I know this might be true for each and every one of you. In your daily walk, do you know the voice? Are you hearing the voice? Are you listening? And then the next question is, what? Are you following? Are you obeying? Listen and obey. Age-old concept. Part of our belief system. How are we to go forth? How are we to take that next step? Are we really intentional about listening as we take that next step? So here we have this opportunity every single moment of our day. Really, literally, we do. That's how personal our God is. He is amazingly attentive to every detail of our life. And as I heard you pray this morning, and all the requests that were coming forth, is he listening to your requests? So the listening goes that way. And is he acting? Yes. Even though we don't see it or even experience it the way we think it should be, he is actively involved. So we have this human-divine exchange happening between us and this living God. This speaking and listening and then taking it the next step of obeying and action. This is actually the first step of our training with Life International, with leaders all over the world. So we're currently active in over 100 countries. So we bring the same basic concept of listening to the Father and then obeying what he says. And I am fully confident when we do that, when a leader does that, the Father will achieve what he has in mind for that part of the world. Because it is his design, it is his plan, it's not mine at Life Internationals. It's what he's up to, and that is very exciting. Because he always takes it further than what I can experience or I can dream of. He always surprises me. It's an amazing God. I suspect he surprised you a few times. Each of us can attest to that. So I'm bringing to you this morning Christianity 101. Just a reminder. I think you all know about this. But it is truly a profound work of God that each of us have right at our fingertips. Let me read a passage. I love this passage. In John chapter 10. And it just tells us how true what I just talked about is. Let me read this. Chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. How many here are sheep? Kind of a dumb question, right? So we are the Father's sheep. We are God's sheep. What do sheep sound like? Anybody? Let me, what does sheep sound like? Good, good, good. You got it. All right. Yes, very good. So everybody in here knows about sheep. Sheep need a shepherd. The shepherd guides and directs. How do they know where to go? It says it right here. My sheep listen to my voice. And then what does it say? I know them. I love that part. And they follow me. Christianity 101. I just want to say this to you this morning. If every single person in this room would do this, things would be a lot different. Your neighborhoods would change. This church would change. Maybe this entire city would change. If we would put this basic piece into practice and really take it for all it's worth, really, really believe it with all of our heart, and just apply it to every single part of our life. There are businessmen in this room. Imagine just doing this with every business decision. There are moms in this room doing this with every single moment with your children and dads and grandpas and grandmas and then neighbors and all that this can apply to. Our daily walk with our Lord and our Savior. I am trying to do this myself. I am daily challenged by this very basic concept of listening to my Father. Because I know He's speaking. What are you saying, Father? And then now, how am I to go forth? Show me the way. I'm desperate for this. I don't know about you. But I don't know of any other source that is more trustworthy, something I can believe in, than the voice of my Father. And I need to know His voice. There are so many times at Life International where I have to make a decision. And it impacts other people. This past June has been a huge challenge for me. We send teams overseas continually to train. It's a whole week of training, 8 hours a day on the sanctity of human life. But we start out with this basic concept. Are you aware of God speaking in your life? Is God speaking? Are you listening and are you obeying? First lesson, first training, first part of our week-long event together We call it Journey of a Life Giver. And so they begin with this posture of anticipating God's going to speak. And when he does, I'm listening and I'm going to obey. That's how we end it. We come right back to it. After 5 days of training, we come right back to that basic concept again. What did you hear? Now what are you going to do about it? Taking action, obeying the Father. So in June, we were listening at Life International. We pray over every single team that we send off into the world someplace. And today, the risk is only going up every single day. Every location, it doesn't matter where you're going anymore. COVID has really changed things immensely. So we sent a team into Liberia. We believed God called us to send a team into Liberia. So the end of May, they took off. They got in that first part of June. They were doing the training for 5 days. It went well. Everything went well until they were tested for COVID to get back on a plane, because you cannot get on a plane unless you have a test. And it has to be current within 72 hours. So one of the team members tested positive for COVID. No symptoms at that point, tested positive. Do you leave one person there in Liberia by themselves? No way. And so we asked another team member to stay who had no symptoms. Well, to make a long story short, there was a very broken system there in the healthcare programs. They kept testing positive even though it had no symptoms. And they did get a little sick, a couple sniffles. They thought it was allergies, but they kept testing positive, which meant they couldn't get on a plane to come home. And this happened over and over and over again. And then they couldn't leave the hospital and they were, or the hotel, and they were isolated. They could not go out. Very broken system. Very corrupt system. Everything we did backfired. Every single thing. We could not get them out. We were going, trying to get them out week after week. 4 weeks goes by. The country gets more and more COVID because of the new strain. The embassy could not help us. Our congressman could not help us. It kept on going on. Then, of course, I was exchanging conversations with some family members who did not have very good life-giving words for me. You're not handling this thing well. What aren't you doing? What's wrong? So I go back, Lord, were we supposed to go into Liberia? I have two people now that are part of our team, and we can't get them home. Was this the right decision? So even when you're listening to the Father and you step forward and you obey, sometimes things turn out that seem like you weren't listening well. Sometimes it turns out that way, because we sometimes don't listen well. And we take steps on our own. What do you do in a situation like that? Then our host, Pastor Titus Davis, an amazing man of God who is a church planter in this Muslim community, Muslim nation, Muslim world. He was planting churches everywhere, and they hated him, and he had gone missing. He was our host pastor, leaving behind a wife and 12 children. It's been now 8, 9, 10 weeks, still gone. No word. Were we supposed to be there, Lord? Were we supposed to do this? Did I hear correctly? So in the middle of it, praying, Lord, what to do? He brings me to King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And King Jehoshaphat is facing a situation where armies all around him are surrounding him, and they were massive. They were powerful. They could win the battle, no question about it. And the king is going before the Lord and saying, "Lord, these lands that are now coming against us, you gave a pass to, and we could have defeated them earlier, but you said no. And so now we're here, and they're reneging, and now they're going to attack us, and we don't know what to do, Lord." And he has this long prayer here, and it's a beautiful prayer in chapter 20. He ends it this way: "We do not know what to do." This is King Jehoshaphat. This is an amazing king, a powerful king. He had lots of resources. "We do not know what to do. But," what does he say? "Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are upon you." This morning, I heard these prayers, and they were beautiful prayers. But I could also hear your heart, and with some of it is, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I have a loved one that's experiencing tremendous health issues. I have friends, I have neighbors, and the world seems to be imploding around us, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do." I heard you say that this morning in your prayers. How many have felt that before? Just don't know what to do. Well, here you have a king saying the same thing. And I have to tell you, when our staff were stuck and actually held hostage in Liberia, I did not know what to do. I didn't know what to say to family members here. And as a family member, I could only imagine the agony they're going through, wondering what's going to happen to my loved ones. Don't know what to do, Lord, but we have a directive here. I place my eyes on you. What does that mean, really? It's eyes of the heart. It's eyes of the soul. It's eyes of the mind. It's eyes of our life. We put them in full placement before the throne of God, before God himself. We bring them to you because you are trustworthy. You are faithful. You are sovereign. Here is this finite human being trying to figure out this infinite nature of who you are, and I cannot. I can only put my faith in you. That's where we land sometimes. That's where we come sometimes. We listen, we obey, and things aren't turning out. Lord, what do? We place our eyes on you. So what happened here in this particular case with Jehoshaphat? What happens next? The whole assembly, all of Israel, everybody comes before the Lord. And then what happens? The Lord comes upon one person and brings a message. And that message is, "Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army." For what? The battle is what? Is not yours, but God's. And I just come to that conclusion every day. Right? I'm involved, I'm here, I'm active with you, Lord, but whose battle is it? It's the Lord's. If you're about his business and you're listening and you're obeying, whose battle is it? It's his. It's his. And putting that into practice is a huge challenge, because I love to get control of stuff. And I tell you what, I want to go out there with that crossbow and go after it, right? I do. That's my nature. And that's what I wanted to do in Liberia. Man, I wanted to get in the plane, go over there and tell that embassy one thing or two. Can't do that. It's not a good thing to do. or that congressman or whoever, you know, get our people home, set my people free. Settle down, Kurt. Settle down, Kurt. Whose battle is it? Whose battle is it? It's mine. What the Lord did? He sent a CDC guy. Did not know us. He was Liberian. He just got interested in this case. And through his intervention, he did the testing himself, and lo and behold, they were negative. And he put him on the pile that needed to be put into the system. They finally got in the system, and they came home. God raised up, I think, an angel in the middle of it all. He brought his people home. We're still missing Pastor Titus Davis. During the same time period, I heard about another friend of ours, Apollos in Niger. He got abducted. He was thrown into prison. Assassins were after him. They tortured him for 3 months for his faith. One of our key partners, he's bringing the life message everywhere in that part of the world. Somehow, miraculously, before he was lined up to get his head cut off. This is kind of hard to hear, but it's real today in our world. These are partners we're working with. We need to be praying for them. And somehow, a man, very, very wealthy, negotiated to save his life. You don't know who it is. Probably another angel. Landed in a hospital in Yemen. Can't be with his family right now because it'll put them in danger. He's recovering. He had broken bones. He had scars and cuts and bruises, head injuries from the torture. But he's resting in a village in Yemen right now. Every one of the households in this village, one of their family members is a terrorist. He's planting a church there. And he's bringing the life message there. He is totally committed to the sanctity of human life. He's bringing the same message that every human life is valuable and needs Jesus Christ. And a little church is being planted in that village right now today in Yemen. He's walking around with injuries. This is basic Christianity, I think. Listening, obeying, no matter what. Trusting in God and how He's leading. And the outcomes are His. They're in His hands. I love how God works. He turns us from fear to Him. And so this morning, how long have I been going? I've been going, yeah, we're okay so far, yeah. The significance and importance of us being able to listen well, discerning His voice among all of the voices, probably going to lead us in a direction that is unique. Probably different than what you're hearing out there. I'm not saying this because I want you all to be strangers, but you are. We're strangers on this earth, just passing through. And what happens when we do that, God brings us to places of uniqueness where He can be glorified and He can be lifted up and His name will be made known. And that usually comes when He brings challenges to His people. He only brings the greatest challenges, I think, to those who are most faithful. Have you noticed that? I mean, you witness Okongo here and you heard his story where he'd been imprisoned, you know, 17 times over the past 15 years and tortured for his faith. And everywhere he had gone, everywhere the places where he had been tortured, a church had been planted. How does that happen? do you think this is God doing this? I mean, is it God's way? You know, I don't want hardship to happen to anybody here. That's not my desire. And I don't look forward to it myself. But God works in such a unique way. But he is calling upon us to listen, because he is speaking today. And the challenge for us today is to listen together as a corporate group, as a body of Christ, but also individuals. Because individually, each day, we have that next step to take. What is it, Lord? What is it? And that's the kind of relationship he desires. It's a beautiful walking with him. Walking in the Spirit, as it talks about in the New Testament. We need to always be aware of his presence. And like you are this morning, you come in and you talk with one another and you listen to each other and you take that next step. It's just as real with our Father, just as real in our relationship with him. And the challenge for this fellowship is, and for me personally, is to do that every single day. To listen and obey. For those of you who don't know much about Life International, our desire is to see a person, at least one person, in every single nation on earth who is going to be a champion for the gospel and life. We put the gospel and the sanctity of human life together. We don't separate them. They are together. Because if you love humanity, if you love that person next to you, if you value another human being, what's the greatest treasure you could ever bring to them? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we cannot separate those things. So at Life International, we believe in the gospel and the sanctity of human life together. They are not separated. It's not political. It's the Father's heart for all of his creation. And so we bring this message to leaders all over the world, and we want at least one leader in a country to come together in Malta in the fall of November of 23. And to together we celebrate all that God has done and listen together, and we believe that God's going to speak and send out a movement throughout the globe. Now these leaders, you saw one, Apollo, Okongo, Okongo a couple of weeks ago. He's one of our key leaders. He's working in the MENA area, Middle East and North Africa. That's where his zone is. And we're raising up leaders in that part under his leadership. We have that all over the world now going on. And we're praying for the end of November of 23, for these leaders to convene together, to give testimony, to hear from the Father, and to be commissioned and sent out into the globe. This will be the first time something like this has ever happened. And we want your prayers. I want to show you a video on this. But this all has come from, in my life, listening to the Father. And I believe the Father wants us to do this at Life International. Just like I believe the Father wants you to have this mentor program here at True Life Church. It's listening, isn't it? And it's obeying. So I invite you into what was one of my sessions with the Father when I was listening. I believe he put this on my heart for this to happen in the fall of 23. We're going to show the video now.
Thank you, Kurt. And